Well, dear friends, greetings this morning in the name of our Lord Jesus. I imagine most of us, if not all of us, have seen the commercials from Capital One designed to make their credit card, the one you carry and use most often. Their takeaway line at the end of each commercial is straightforward. They ask the question, what's in your wallet? They want you to think about what you have at your disposal and why what they have to offer would make your life so much better. I have to admit that it's a creative way to come at it, to advertise what they're selling by framing it in a question. It's also, apart from the advertising pitch itself, a good philosophical. The advertising pitch itself, a good philosophical question. What is in your wallet? What is it you carry with you each day that identifies who you are? Everywhere you go, everything you do, what you count on and depend upon and need. What is in your wallet? It's a good question. I remember receiving my first wallet as a kid. It made me feel so grown up. There wasn't much in it. I have to admit, my student body card, a few bucks, several wallet-sized photos of my friends, later on, my driving permit, and eventually my license. All in all, it was a pretty flat fold. But it gave a good picture of who I was, at least at the time, and what was important to me and where my life was heading. Today, I look at my wallet, and it's a bit fatter. It's not because there's more money in it, but because there's more I need to carry. In fact, I'll bring it out and hold it up here for a moment because it's becoming a thing of the past. Our kids have them. Our grandkids probably will. But after that, I'm not quite sure. There's an app for almost everything in this wallet, so it's all changing. If you want to make some money, really, folks, this is an aside, hang on to your wallets. At some point, these will be collector's items. Well, a lot's changed in my wallet since the time I was a kid. But it still gives a picture of who I am, what's important, and where my life is heading. I still have a driver's license. I still have a few bucks. But I also have a Starbucks card, an Ace Rewards card. There's a debit card in here. There's a Bank of America card, Home Depot, Costco. I'm a member of Kaiser. I'm a Thrivent financial member in good standing. I still have credit, and I even have a card in here that says that I'm a preacher in the Lutheran Church, although it's almost out of date. Don't even go there, all right? I know you want to, but let's not even go there, all right? It's all in my wallet. It's all in my wallet. It gives a picture of who I am. But is that who I am, what I have in my wallet? Is that who you are, what you carry with you in yours? It might not be in your wallet. It might be in your smartphone already. Those phones are getting pretty smart. But is that who you are? Does that define and direct your life? Let's turn to our story. The story we read today is one that, at least in part, has been part of our readings three times in the past, The first was on the second Sunday in January. It was the day when we remembered the occasion of Jesus' baptism. The sermon that day, if you remember, was titled Full Immersion. We talked about how our relationship with Christ isn't just a sprinkle or a splash. It's not enough to go in it part way. It's a full immersion. You're either following Jesus in your life or you're not. You're either giving your life to him or to someone or something else. There's no middle ground in being a follower. The second time we read it was 2 weeks later on the occasion of our annual meeting. The direction that day was on the calling of the disciples and the vision God has given to us here at St. Timothy's. The sermon that day was titled Recasting Our Vision. It was a challenge to us to continually recast our lives as well as our shared life together in light of where God is leading. Today, it's a portion of the same story. The third time we're reading parts of this text. The difference this time is that it covers a much broader scope, giving us a much more complete and accurate picture of the Christian life. The story begins today with Jesus' baptism. In the Jordan River by a man named John, you know the story. A voice comes from the heavens saying, "You are my son, with you I am well pleased." In the story, Mark starts out by telling us about Jesus' baptism. Not as a way of washing away his sins, because he didn't have any, and not as a way of his becoming a child of God, but because he already was, but as a way of establishing his identity, as a way of identifying him as the Son of God. And it was from that identity as a Son of God that Jesus' entire life and ministry would unfold. There are a lot of misconceptions out in the world, as you know, about the Christian life, what it is and what it's not. Some think that being a Christian is nothing more than a matter of how you live. Live a good life. Do the best you can. Be kind, serve others, look for ways to help. That's what it means to be a Christian. Some think it has to do with going to church. If you're a Christian, you go to church. If you're a believer, you hang out with other believers. You read the Bible, you pray, you get involved in Christian things. As a Christian, that's who you are. It's what you do. Now we're talking today about who you are, who we are, about what defines us in life. Ask that basic identity question, who you are, and most people will answer with what they do, how they fit in. I'm a teacher. I'm a doctor. I'm in high tech. I'm a mother. I'm a father. I'm retired. I go to a certain school. That's how they define their identity. That's how they think about their life. Now, there's nothing wrong with that. Certainly not. It's one way to come at it. But it's not the defining way for the Christian. It's not what it means to be a follower of Jesus. The Christian life is a follower of Jesus. The Christian life is not defined by what you do. The Christian life is defined by who you are and whose you are. You know, it's ironic these days that the more we pin down and define who we are by what we do, what we carry, the more at risk we are of having our identity stolen. You know how it works in this electronic, everything online age. Most of us are only electronic, everything online age. Most of us are only a click away from having it happen. It's the new 11th commandment, if you will. Don't click. All right, one misplaced click and it's all gone. For the Christian, it can still happen. They can still hack in and take everything you have. We're as vulnerable as the rest. But no one can steal your identity. No one and no thing can take away who you are. Your life is not defined by what you do, or even by what you carry. Your life is defined by Jesus and his cross and your value and worth in the sight of God. How many people go through life without discovering who they are? How many people live out their life without realizing why they're here? Don't make that mistake. Don't fall into that endless and life-ending trap. There's more to life than what you do in life. There's more to life than what you carry. What's in your wallet? What is it that defines who you are? It's interesting in today's story that immediately following Jesus' baptism, the first thing that happens is that Jesus is led into the wilderness to do battle with Satan. Not long after he's coming up for air, if you will, in his baptism, he's led into a setting where the devil is trying to get him to do just that, to err, to do something in some way against his Father's will. I remember how for years, each time I'd read this story in Mark's gospel, it's so short, how I'd come to the conclusion that Mark was simply telling us in as concise a manner as possible what happened in Jesus' life. It's a short gospel. It really is. 16 chapters to cover 3.5 years of Jesus' ministry. There isn't much room for anything else. What I realized and what I had missed was the very reason Mark tells it like he does. This isn't simply a summary of Jesus' life. It's a summary of the Christian life. It's not just how it worked for our Lord, it's how it works for us. Guess who becomes your enemy the moment you are baptized? It's not Jesus, it's the devil. Guess what he tries to do to make happen the moment you decide to become one of Jesus' followers? He tries to trip you up. He tries to get you to make a mistake. And if not to trip you up, to get you to make a mistake, then to doubt and to question and to begin to wonder if what God promised in your baptism is real. You know the questions. Am I really a child of God? Does God really love me as he says he does? Does he know what I'm facing? Does he know what I'm up against? And if he knows, does he care? Does it matter? Does it make any difference if I trust? Now, I mentioned at the beginning that this is the third time in less than 2 months when we're reading a portion of the same text. The first was a remembering of Jesus' baptism. The second was the day of our annual meeting. The third, again here today, is on the first Sunday in the season of Lent. Lent, as you know, is a season that lasts for 40 days. Those 40 days are to reflect the 40 days Jesus spent in the wilderness as a newly baptized and blessed child of God. Now, if that's what's going on in Jesus' baptism and what it signifies and what this season is all about, clearly our understanding of blessing needs to change. When we realize that the first post-baptismal story is one of Jesus being led by the Spirit into the wilderness, where for 40 days he was with the wild animals and tempted by the devil, our understanding needs to change. It's not what it means to be blessed. What cannot change and what will never change is the promise we have when it happens. I remember reading years ago an article on the Golden Gate Bridge and how when it was being designed, how the engineers had to take into consideration three different kinds of loads or stresses. Maybe I shared this. Number one was the dead load. Number two was the live load. Number three was the wind load. The dead load was the weight of the bridge itself. The live load was the weight of the daily traffic the bridge had to carry, and the wind load was the pressures of the storms that would from time to time beat on that bridge. Now, I don't know about you, but I think that's a pretty good description of life. There's the dead load that comes to all of us as a result of living in a fallen world. There's a live load that comes as a result of the daily challenges we face. And then there's the wind load that results from those storms that too often end up hammering away on what we're doing. The message today is that we're not alone. Tempted by the devil, out in the wilderness with wild beasts, carrying a load that seems too often too great to handle. You're not alone. You don't have to carry the weight yourself. No matter where you go, Jesus is with you. No matter what you do, his Spirit is there to give you guidance and strength. And not only that, you belong to him. You are his child. He's your father. And that's an identity in your life that will never change. What's in your wallet? How is it you think about and define your life? I brought something here I want to share with you this morning. In fact, I brought two things I want to share. The first is a copy of a baptismal certificate. We give these to people as they're baptized here at the church. We have a baptism today at the 9:45 service. It's a certificate that identifies the person being baptized and what happened on that day. It says on this 22nd day of February 2015, and then it has a place for the person's name. child of such and such parents, born on such and such a date in San Jose, California, was baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then it says, St. Timothy's Lutheran Church of San Jose welcomes this new member of God's family. There's a place for the pastor to sign who's doing the baptism, and then it has a symbol of the Holy Spirit etched in down on the bottom. That's the one thing I brought. The second thing I brought is something I received when I was called to serve here at St. Timothy's. It's my letter of call. It's a copy of indicating that I was called to serve as one of your pastors. Pastor Judy, Pastor Jim, they have something almost identical to this. Do you know what it says? It says, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Then it has a place for my name with prayer for the guidance of the Holy Spirit to do God's will. St. Timothy's Lutheran Church, San Jose, California, meeting on October 30th, 1994, extends to you this call to serve as pastor. And then it goes on and it outlines some of the duties that I have, as well as some of the responsibilities that each of you have, the congregation has in return. There's a place on the bottom for the president of the congregation to sign, the secretary, and then a place for the bishop, the local bishop, to attest that this was really happening, along with the date of that call. So, do you know the difference between these two? Do you know what's different between the one and the other? There really isn't much. There really isn't much. What's different is a matter of function. What's different is the specific duties that each of us are called to perform. My call, and Pastor Judy's and Jim's, is to preach and to teach and administer the sacraments, to take a lead, to give guidance, to make sure that the things that are supposed to happen here at church continue to happen. That's our call. That's the function we're called to serve. But do you know what our calling is as people? Do you know what God's calling and claim on our lives is all about? It's the same calling and claim he laid on all of us when we were baptized. It's the same calling and claim he's given to each of us when Jesus died on the cross for our sins. His claim is that we are his children. His claim is that we belong to him. And his calling to all of us is to follow. His calling to each of us is to become disciples. Here's the bottom line. Leadership is a function. It's a responsibility the church has given to a few. Discipleship is a calling. It's a responsibility and a privilege given to all. Don't ever think, my friends, that your calling is anything less than ours. Don't ever think that your value in God's sight is anything less than anyone else's. The responsibility and privilege we all have are ones given to us in Jesus. The calling and claim we all share are ones paid for and promised in Christ. Let me close with this. We're talking about the things we carry, about what defines and identifies us in life. How about this? I'm not going to check, I'm not going to even ask, but how about this as an idea? Go home today and find a copy of your baptismal certificate. Dig it out of a drawer, find it in some file, wherever it is. If you can find it, why not reduce it so it can go into your wallet? Or fold it up, and maybe during, at least for these next 40 days during Lent, put it where you're going to see it every day. If nothing else, it'll serve as a reminder through this Lenten season of who you are and whose you are.